significant of what the Christmas season is all about and what it means for you and for me. A gift that was given, and the gift that is ultimately not just from this celebration at Christmas, but having the big picture of what it's all about. Thinking about a play production in which they had been given the script and they didn't want to spend too much money on the script, and so they only got 5 copies, and they then took and cut that script up into its pieces, right, into each of its individual parts and so on, and then they got together and tried to go through and practice and put this together, and it just kept falling apart. It just did not work until the director decided to go ahead and read through the entire script with the whole cast, and then they got a clear picture of what it was all about. And that's kind of what we're looking at here this morning, is that the pieces which we will be looking at are important. We have to get the big picture of what is Christmas about. And if we don't understand the big picture, if we just come together, or when people just get together and celebrate the birth of this babe in a manger, and man, it was such a precious story and great things said about what this baby Jesus, who he was, and so on. But if we don't put it together with the whole picture and proclaim it for what it is, it's ineffective, irrelevant. It's just knowledge. It's just putting little pieces together, individual things, and not having the whole story. As Paul Harvey would say, we need the rest of the story, right? We need what is there to know? And so I pray this morning, as we look through this passage here in 1 John chapter 4, that we will be given clarity of the big picture of what this is all about. I hope this is just a great reminder, but maybe it's a fresh thought for you, but it's just from God's word, right? It's straight from God's word, and we just need to take it to heart and then live it out. So a gift that is to keep on giving is kind of the thought in which you come to of this passage. And it's speaking about God's love. And as we read this verse or this passage this morning and this reminder, it was because of, right, God's love is why Jesus came. But there's some important things that I think we need to understand, and this passage helps with that, and just 1 John in general, some great truths that come from this book that help us to get some clarity of what this love is all about and what it looks like. There's a lot of confusion today about what love is. We see plastered oftentimes on TV and in the parades and the different things that they do, that God is love, and we have rainbows, and we have God is love, and we have all of these things, and we are somehow to take and believe that, well, because God is love, right, then everything is to be ultimately embraced with love and with acceptance. And boy, how far removed from the truth that is. And that's what we're going to look at here to begin with, about what we see in this passage in 1 John 4. So if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 16 is the passage in which we're going to glean from this morning. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, but because God is love, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. It would be very easy to look at this passage and be able to somehow get a distorted view if you don't pour into what all is being said here of what love is and what love looks like. And as mentioned a moment ago, reality is that there is much confusion of what love looks like. And God's word tells us that God is love. There's three things that we're going to look at, three key realities about God that are revealed here in 1 John that are important and go together when we think about God as love. And actually, we could have looked at many other characteristics of who God is that defines and go along with the fact that God is love. You can't separate these, okay? The love of God is something that is tied to the character of who he is in other ways. You can't separate them. So God is the three questions we're going to ask ourselves is what God is, what God did, and what God is doing. What God is, what God did, and what God is doing. So the first thought here in 7 and 8 in 1 John chapter 4, what God is, his word says that he is love. God is love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. What does that look like? What is that about? What does that mean for us when we say that God is love? And so every time that we see something that seems kind and good, is it always love, God's love? It is not that love is God. Love is not always God. It's not always from God. It's not always God-motivated and God-driven, okay? That's what our society wants us to believe, is that you are to embrace and to show love in every situation through the eyes of what the world says love is, and in the midst of that, we totally deviate from what God says love is and who he is. God cannot embrace sin. Much that is called love in modern society bears no resemblance or relationship to the holy spiritual love of God. Yet we see banners saying God is love, as if one could dignify immorality by calling it love. Boy, is there a lot of confusion today about what love looks like. But I hope and pray this morning that as we look at this, I hope that we can get a clearer understanding from what God's Word says, things that come alongside and go with this character of God, that God is love, that makes it what it is. The love of God is the world knows nothing of it by themselves. It's something that only those truly that know Christ can experience within, and hopefully we're displaying that love, but it's going to look different than what they say love is. It's not that love is God. God is spirit. First thing that we want to look at is that God is spirit. God is spirit. So why is that significant? And when we look at what Scripture speaks of about that, when we think of love, God is spirit. Well, John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So that means that there's a relationship. That means that there's something different. In order for us to experience and to display what God has for us, it means that there's relationship that takes place. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that means engagement in this knowing who God is. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just that, oh, I know that God is love, that God is good, or whatever, but there's actually involvement. There is a involvement together with him, right? His spirit and our working in within us. And so it's important to understand God is spirit. God is spirit being, yet we know Jesus came in flesh and blood, right? But to understand that because God is spirit, as his word says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 7:38-39, it says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. But by this he meant the spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. We see a transition that takes place when now all of a sudden the Spirit of God, who once did not indwell, but now does come and indwell the life of a believer, we see that in order for us to truly understand and know and experience truly what the love of God is, there has to be relationship with him. How can we possibly expect for the world to understand what love looks like when they do not know the love giver, the true love giver, the one who we get to know in a personal, in a real way? God is light. The second thought that we need to consider is that God is light. God is light. In 1 John 1:5-10, again, you can't just say God is love. God is love. Well, what does that mean? So what does his love entail then? Well, one, it's relational, it's spiritual, and it's from him. It's a spiritual relationship, a life-giving relationship that comes through the indwelling Spirit of God within us. And we also know about God that he is light. God is light. 1 John 1:5-10, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. If we are going to explain the love of God, we have to understand that it's one, it's through a spiritual, a life-giving relationship that we are having with the God of, that who is love, but he's spirit, as his word says, and he is light. He is holy. Light represents holiness. Darkness is a reflection of sin and death. Yet he is light. He's holy. So God is love. God's love has to be displayed through, one, it's who he is, right? And the only way we can experience that is through that personal relationship with him, of really experiencing and being able to give his love, show his love to others, but it has to be grounded in that of holiness. It's pure. It's holy. It's not sin-infested. True love is inspired by the Spirit and is holy. Excuse me. I want to go back to 1 John 1:5-10. When we think about that he is light. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not. I already read that. That's so funny. I meant to do 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1:14-16. I do that, I go and think I copied, and I didn't. 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1:14-16. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So we're reading here in 1 John that we're called to love one another. We're called to have love for each other, to have a love for God. But what is the definition, or what is the thought that we have about this love that we're called to live? Well, it can only be displayed through a relationship that is, there's fellowship being enjoyed there. Fellowship with the Lord. True fellowship of hating sin as he hates it, and getting our heart and our mind right, and then walking in step. And it's displayed with a heart and a mindset of be holy for I am holy. What does God's love look like? My friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand and not be distracted by when we look out and we see these signs that says God is love, and again, they have a rainbow or they have whatever they want, they're promoting of their sinful way or wants or their desires. What are they trying to say? What do you believe? How should we live in the light of the presence of those issues and those things, those brokenness that's out there that people so desperately want for us to say, you need to love me this way. And of course, it's, yes, we need to love them, but we love them with a through a different lens than what they want us to say is love. It must be holy. Love is holy. And it's through a relationship. We can only experience and enjoy giving true love that displays God. We can only do that through that relationship and fellowship that we have with Him. 2 Peter 1:4. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them He might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption and the world caused by evil desires. Again, just looking at the heartbeat of what that verse is speaking of. Okay, we want to display love. We have got to have our heart right before God. In order for us to do that, we have to turn away from the filth and walk in the truth. We have to get our minds right. Well, thinking about what Jesus came to do, Jesus came to earth to bring life, to bring hope, and the world that we live in desperately needs to see it and hear it and know it through the life that you and I are living. But are we embracing what love is? God says He is love, but He doesn't embrace sin. He doesn't embrace, He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Let us not forget that. But this passage goes on to tell us not only that we know the one who is love, but it's telling us now that we are to love as He loves. Love as He is. And that's where I'm wanting to, I hope and pray from this passage this morning, remind us of this, what God's desire is for you and for me. True love, number three, true love is inspired by the Spirit and is holy. God's love is inspired by the Spirit of God, this fellowship and this relationship that you and I have with Him, that is going to be displayed through our lives as our relationship with Him is as it should be, desiring to walk in holiness, hating sin, loving truth. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Again, we so desperately need to have a God-focused understanding of what love looks like. And believe you me, every day we have new things thrown at us that makes us question and wonder, well, so what does love look like? What should it be? God is love. We hear it all the time. The unsaved are using it all the time. God is love. How can a good God possibly allow this to happen? If God is love, then this is what you should do, they say. And it grieves my heart. I have a nephew who is living in that in these days, and my heart aches for him because he's so blinded to the truth. If we only loved him, we would embrace him in the journey that he is on. But we can't. We can't embrace it, but we do love him, and we care for him mightily. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Again, the question that I'm hopefully trying to get us to this morning is what does that look like for you and for me then? What does this, so God is love, what does that look like? Well, it's only found through a relationship with Him, walking in fellowship with Him, and it is holy, it's pure, it's right, it's hating sin, steering away from sin, and walking in truth. So then the next question to ask, so what is God? Well, he's love. God is love. What God did? What did he do? Well, in this passage here, we see what he did. He sent his son. God sent his son. In 1 John 4, 9 through 11, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You and I are called to love one another with God's love. What does that look like? We need to understand that God had a great purpose and a plan in him coming or sending his son Jesus to come to earth and to be born as a babe in a manger, ultimately to go to the cross and to die. All wonderful, actually, it's what we're all about. If it wasn't for those events, you and I would have nothing, nothing to celebrate. We would have nothing, we would have no hope. There would be no hope in the midst of life. So it's these things that are so important. So what does it mean for us then? God did these things, so what does it mean for us? 1 John 4, 9 through 11, as we just read, because of his great love for us, he sent his son into the world. God loved you and me so much that he sent his son, stepped out of heaven, Jesus stepped out of heaven, came to earth to be born in such humble means. We know that about this wonderful story that Jesus came to accomplish, and the love of the Father that he had for you and for me, that he loved us that much. He sent his one and only Son to come to earth, not simply to be born, but to die. It's a display, one, of his deity in the sense that Jesus was sent to earth, okay? He was sent. You and I are just born into the world. Jesus was sent from heaven to earth. He's God, he's deity. That's an important thing to reflect upon and remember. He was sent to satisfy the requirements for the forgiveness of our sin that separates us from the loving and holy God, from a loving and holy God. Yes, God is love, but he is holy. And the only way we can experience his love is through that relationship, we worship him in spirit and in truth, knowing who he is and living for him. He has sent him to satisfy the requirements for the forgiveness of our sin. Think about that. What a gift. What a gift that he has offered to us. For us to ever get led into, oh, it's just another time to, you know, sit and reflect upon these things, but it's such a great story and so on. This is a life-changing story. At least that's what God intended it to be, a life-changing story for you and for me, because he tells us that we're to love one another. And you and I cannot possibly love one another as God is love and as God has called us to do if we do not know him and have that relationship with him and that we are changed. And then having his heart and mind of being holy, for I am holy. That is love. That's what God's love is. That's who he is. But love is not just this feel-good, embrace everything out there. And unfortunately, my friends, we can look at a lot of churches today and denominations that actually have embraced that kind of thinking. That's not the love of God. That's not what God promotes in his word. That's not who he is, and that's not who we should be. If you want to experience love that is from God, it is going to be relational with him. And we're dependent upon him, that relationship with him. And he works through us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see that relationship? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Why did God send his son to earth to be born in a manger? That he would become sin, our sin, for us, that we might be able to become the righteousness of God through a relationship with him. How often do we struggle with loving others and loving love, even within the body of Christ sometimes, maybe? How often do we struggle with that? In loving others out there as Jesus loves them, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves the people, but he hates the sin. And God's love has to be filtered through a relationship with him. It's dependent upon him. If we want to experience and do the love of God, it has to be through a life-giving relationship with him. And it's holy. We hate sin as he hates it, and we desire to walk in truth. He was sent into the world that we might live through him. That's what it says here in this passage. If we look at in verse, my eyes are not working well this morning. In verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. This focus of God in us, and he lives through us, and now we can display the love of God. But it's his love and what he says it is, not what the world portrays it to be. And we better not lose sight of that, my friends, because the world is so confused. And unfortunately, within the context of the church, is so confused today in so many ways with what it says love is. Let her see what God is doing. So what God is love. What God is, what he did was he sent his son. He sent his son for the purpose of us seeing what his love is, but it's not just something he wanted to show us, but he wanted us to experience it. And that's what leads us to let her see what God is doing is God abides in us. Who is God? He's love. What did he do? He sent his son that we could see and understand and know the love of God. And then what he is doing and he wants to do today is in your life and in my life to abide within us and let that love be displayed. What God is doing, God abides in us, in those who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He abides within us. 1 John 4:12 through 16. Let's just read that again here. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Are we living in the love of God? Are we living and abiding in him? you want to display the love of God, he calls us, he tells us, and here in 1 John, John tells us, we are called to love one another. The only way that we can love one another is when we are abiding in Christ and allowing this life-giving relationship that we've entered into through trusting in Christ as our Savior. It is only then that you and I can experience and actually live it out, this love for one another. And it's going to be life-giving. It's life-giving to us, this love that we experience within our own life, but it's also life-giving to those whom we interact with and who we love and care for. It's so profound. It's something that the world knows nothing of, but we have been called to it, and we can experience that because of this relationship that he has given to us. This is what his coming was all about. God came to do something in us. He didn't just come to do something. He didn't come to just accomplish great things and things that looked amazing and for us to sit and, wow, that's amazing what God did, that he did. What a loving and a caring God. But it's far bigger than that. It's about you and it's about me and it's about in us. And he wants to indwell and live within us and change us and make us live his love in the world in which we live. And starting right here, have a love for one another. He calls us to. If we can't love one another, especially as brothers and sisters, John says the love of God is not in us. Don't know God. This is what his coming is all about. That we might have fellowship with him as he indwells within us. That's what his coming to earth was all about. And it was love that brought him here. His love that brought him to earth. Not that we loved him, as it tells us in this passage. It's not that we loved him, that he showed love for us. No, he loves us. And in turn, because of his great love for us, we should desire to live for him, to love him with our whole heart and mind. What was his coming all about? That he came to do something within you. And he came to do something through us as he dwells within us. We are called to live in his love. And you and I cannot possibly live in the love of God if we are not serious about walking in fellowship with the God who is love. Does that make sense? It is impossible to experience and to display that, not only to each other, but in the world that we live. And we have been called to love others. We have been called to love our enemies. For that's who everyone is before a holy and righteous God until they come to know him as Savior, right? Everyone is an enemy of God. And we have been called to be like-minded as he is and to display that kind of love. Oh, what Jesus came to do is life-changing. Not just to get us to heaven. It's not just to get us to experience eternity with him forever. No, it starts right here, right now, within us. When we trust in him, he wants our minds and our hearts and our attitudes and our behavior to be changed and transformed into his likeness and to love as he loves. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home." Isn't that an interesting? Our home? Did you see the plurality of that? Make our home, the Godhead, come and dwell within you. It's always good to take note of that. Within Scripture, you see where Trinity is revealed there. speaking of our home, not just my home, or just me, but it's plural, our home within him. The Godhead comes and indwells within us. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home within him. Jesus did not come simply to show us what love is, but to display his love through us. Jesus did not come simply to show us what love is, but to display his love through us. We have been challenged through these months and years, I think truly, to do that well. Wrestle with all sorts of things of how to view certain scenarios and individuals and so on. But what Jesus came to do, the gift that he brought to us, that of forgiveness of sin, newness of life, what he has come and offered to us, and he now tells us, right, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, through John, as he tells us now, the love that I give to you, now go and love others likewise. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. He abides in us. And so he abides in us, and we are to abide in him. This fellowship and relationship that we have with him. My friends, I hope and pray that we take to heart what he has called us to do. And it's so easy for us to make excuses of why we can't love or choose not to love or care for certain people or whatever. It's not justified, right? What is the love of God? What does it look like? And that's what's important, is for us to get our minds wrapped around what this love looks like. What did he do for you and for me? I was an enemy of him until I come to a saving knowledge of him. But he loved me before then. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He cared for you and for me enough that he came and he did that in our brokenness, in our wretchedness. So our prayer for this season is, Lord, as we are reminded of your love, and that your word tells us that you are love, and because of your love, you came to earth as a babe in a manger, ultimately to die upon the cross, not just to get us to heaven, but you wanted to transform our life today. Is he having the freedom to transform your life today? Is he able to do a work in changing our heart and our mind and our thinking and making us more and more like him? That his love, which is holy, and it is dependent upon a relationship with him. You can't display love for your spouse, for your children, for anyone else. You can't display it with the love of God, God's love, if it's not done through a relationship. Worshiping and living for him through spirit, right? Spirit and truth, and allowing him to pour out his love through us to others. Oh, the joy of walking in fellowship with him. We get to experience his love and we can share it. Oh, we get peace and joy that we can share with others too. So much. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, we love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are a God whom longs to have a relationship with us. The only way that we can enjoy this is to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. It's a life-giving relationship, and it's holy. God is holy, and he tells us, be holy, for I am holy. And so in order for us to love as you love, Lord, it has to be lived out through a relationship with you and with the mindset that you have, that you are holy and you hate sin, and that we would hate sin in our own lives, Lord, and be determined with your help in and through us, Lord, to change our heart and our mind and our thinking about what matters to you and what you care about. Help us to just be madly in love with you, Lord, because of your great love for us. Lord, thank you for this time. Be with us through this Christmas season. Truly celebrate. And Lord, that the gift that you have given to us would continue to give on through us as you have designed. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You're dismissed.